Hey, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Owner's Box. I'm Billy Koch, founder and managing partner of Little Red Feather Racing Club. Joining me alongside as always, Michelle Yu. Hello, beautiful Michelle.
That's it. Nothing nice about me. I just wait to hear nice things.
I said beautiful Michelle Yu.
No, you just said, as always, Michelle Yu.
And then I said beautiful Michelle Yu. Look at you. You're glowing. You're a great color today.
I'm sweating. I just Pelotoned and then I showered and like.
Who is your Peloton coach that you go to? Who's your
go-to? Oh my God. It's Allie Love.
Oh, you like Allie Love. Interesting.
I don't like Allie Love. I freaking love like, Allie. I want to tattoo her name across my chest. I love Allie Love. I'm absolutely obsessed with her. I love her energy and her attitude. I love how she like looks at you when you're doing it. Yeah. And for some reason, it's like, she knows me. Cause I'll be like, I'm going to quit. I'm going to turn it down like one resistance. And she's like, I don't want you to touch that resistance. I'm like, ah, it wasn't me. I didn't do it. And she's got great music. She's awesome. I love her.
Is this a new thing for you? Are you trying to get fit? Are you, what is happening?
Yeah, I'm trying to not be a lardo. That's all, you know.
A lardo.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're doing a little fitness challenge with yourself.
Basically, I don't diet. I don't do well at all, like being on any kind of restriction. And so Zoe basically told me I need to do something else to stop complaining about how I look.
Okay.
So
what is wrong with the way you look?
I was like really, 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 really heavy. And yeah, it's just depressing, you know.
Some people would like that though. There's nothing, you know, like this is not. I think you look great.
Thank you. It was very frustrating to have people like be like, "Oh, you're having another baby," and I'm like, "No, just fat."
Well, that yeah. Whoa, someone said that.
Multiple people said that. So yeah. I'm like, okay, I guess I'm getting a little on the big side.
We are behind you. We're here for you. We think you look great, but if you feel that you need to even look better, then that's your prerogative.
So anyway, Zoe pure prepped me into the Peloton, so I did that.
All right, great. I used to be a big Emma Lovewell fan, and then I turned into I have a new person. I can't remember who it is.
I've listened to some other people, and I'm like, shut up, just shut. I listened to a girl the other day, and I literally had to like mute her. I could not stand what she was just jibber jabbering.
What was her name?
I don't know.
I'm trying to look it up while we're talking. Well, we have a good show. Robert Cotrin, am I saying that right?
Cotrin
is the owner of Hades.
Co-owner. He does have a partner.
He's going to hopefully run in the Florida Derby, I imagine. Mm-hmm. And we're going to find all about his journey through horse ownership. Excuse me. As I look at the Peloton.
Are you looking at the Peloton group?
Yeah, I'm on the Peloton website, just trying to figure out what the name, Kendall Tool I like.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you do, Tool. Run or bike?
I bike.
Bike. I'll have to listen to her. Kendall Tool. I bike. Kendall I listened Tool. To the so, German yeah. girl a couple times because that she has really good music, but obviously I don't understand anything she says.
That's pretty good. All right. 3 minutes and 30 seconds into this pod, and we have not really spoken anything about horse racing. So let's go with three things of note really quickly. Michelle, I know I'm just going to throw it out. I don't know if it's one of the things of note, but you were just on the phone on the CHRB call. Obviously a interesting time in Southern California and Northern California. I don't think we have the results or know anything about any voting yet, or do we? I mean, this will be broadcast Friday. Unfortunately, we're on Thursday afternoon. So,
yeah, let me yell in the background.
Oh wow, we're getting that is yelling. We can't hear you. No, we can't hear you. You're muted. But we can see you. We can see your ponytail. Going like
okay,
this.
Okay, there's a chance that they are voting today. So everybody knows that Golden Gate is going to be shutting down. The Strana Group did grant additional racing days to the north. Now the CARF circuit, which they have kind of renamed themselves Golden State
CHRB.
Racing.
CHRB, not Strana Group, didn't give
no, dates. The Strana Group, I'm telling the whole story kind of.
Okay.
Right? Okay,
the Strana Group gave more dates. I think you said.
They gave more dates to Golden Gate because they were going to close earlier on and they extended to June.
Right. Thank you. Very good.
So
yes.
But now what's coming up is that obviously people in Northern California want to continue Northern California racing. And this is a very abbreviated version, by the way.
No, we're 10-cent tour, because I don't think we're going to have the answers now anyway. So it's a big battle.
So basically, CARF, which is the California Fair Circuit, has put together kind of a loose plan to continue racing in the north. And they want the CHRB to grant those racing dates that used to be Golden Gates to Pleasanton on the basis of this plan, that they're going to have racing there for, you know, October through December or something, somewhere in that vicinity. The Stronach Group sent out a letter yesterday or the day before.
Right.
That a lot of people have taken as a threat, saying that they don't believe that racing is feasible in the north, that we need to consolidate racing in the south. And should the CHRB award those days to the north, that there is a chance they will be shopping around, you know, other uses for Santa Anita, which obviously comes across negatively to a lot of people, that they're going to just shutter racing. So the CHRB meeting today, we heard from the CTBA, which is the California Trainer, California Thoroughbred Breeders Association, the CTT, which is the California Trainers, the TOC, which is the Thoroughbred Owners of California, the CT, who else?
All the alphabet.
And obviously we heard from Craig Fravel of the Stronach Group. So we've heard from all of these people now, and the CHRB is going to either decide to award these dates to the north without a racetrack in place. They are going to say, no, the dates don't get there, or they're going to say, we're going to hold off until possibly there's a further plan from this Golden State Racing about what they can do from a racing dates, perch structure, feasibility standpoint, because Pleasanton is not set up to race year round.
Very good synopsis. And, you know, we're not going to weigh in on this. Listen, you and I both run in the South. We're very South people, but we love the North. We love the people in the North. And hopefully there's
Gary was great on the call we were listening to. He got up and spoke. If you guys don't know, Gary is Billy's partner for Little Red Feather. And, you know, they are the defending champions of the San Francisco Mile. They won it with Balnikov last year. And he went so far as to say that the, you know, beginning of Little Red Feather was pretty much a horse named Singletary. And he won up north. Yeah. He was, he hailed from there. So that it is important to all people. And, you know, someone like Gary, who kind of takes a lot of heat because he's the head of the TOC, or, you know, chairman of the TOC, still has some love for the North.
Hey, everybody does. It's a sad state of affairs. Let's be honest. I don't think there's a real winner in this. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Even Micropoli chimed in.
He did. Interesting. Yeah, well, Micropoli chimed in on California saying, which is the first time it was nice to see someone say.
That's what I've talked. Yeah, Micropoli was on the call, but he chimed in on X.
Right. And he said that California needs some type of subsidized or some type of revenue sharing or something, and said that California is vital to the industry. Am I synopsizing this?
Yeah, but he basically wants to say anyone that only wants to blame the Stronach Group for Gulfstream and California is extremely foolish. It's been mismanagement and poor leadership in the horse racing industry over the last 20 years, and that we are all responsible for these issues. So he wants everyone to know that if we lose California racing, the value of the sport drops by 33%. So that is horse farms, stallions, mares, tracks, agencies, whatever. Your value is now 33% less.
Yeah. Interesting. From the self-appointed commish. So what else do we have, Michelle? Because I know we're going to be hearing from Robert Cotran shortly.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I have something sad.
Oh, no. Why do you always have the sad stuff?
Well, because people have to know.
Okay,
right?
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Improbable.
Oh, God, about Improbable? I knew it.
Improbable was euthanized at Windstar Farm. He was champion, older mare of 2020, and he was actually euthanized at Rude and Riddle, excuse me, on March 17th, it was announced. Yeah, he had ataxia, which is basically just like, I mean, reading between the lines, it sounds like he had EPM, and the EPM got flared, but they never actually come out and say he had EPM. But it's basically like weakness from behind, and he had laid down in his stall, which horses do, and he broke his tibia trying to get up because he couldn't like support himself properly. And they didn't talk about the fracture, but it must have been compound would be my guess because he wasn't salvageable. And we have tibia fractures often that are, you know, 2 months of stall rest and done.
It's sad. He was a really, really good racer.
Well, I love him. His babies right now, you know, that's that he's being a sire, and his babies right now look fantastic.
Yeah, they were nice. Yeah, it's sad. Feel bad. Elliot Walden and his whole crew too. All right, what else, Michelle? Ended on a high note.
It is going to be the Dubai World Cup this week. Oh. How about that for fun? Fantastic. So it's been a month since Saudi. We've got a nice U.S. contingent either on their way or having made their way over there. We've got Sebelius trying to go back to back. We've obviously got Senior Buscador trying to do the Saudi Dubai World Cup double. We've got Newgate going over there for trainer Bob Baffert. We've got a couple other horses from Saudi. We got the Forever Young. We're going to see if he's as good as advertised from the Saudi Derby. We'll see if he can't move forward. Pandagate went over for Christophe Clement for the Dubai, what's it called, the UAE Derby. There are a lot of really cool horses heading that direction or are already there. And I think it's going to be awesome. You know, Ushba Tesoro is still over there, German Sodagake. So we're going to have a big rematch of the Saudi Cup in the Dubai World Cup. And it looks
fun. Are you
fun.
Going?
No. Mm-mm.
I don't. Oh, you only do Saudi? You don't do Dubai?
I have done Dubai a couple of times, but not this year.
Okay.
Not this year. We also have a horse here called Two Rivers Over.
Yeah, it's a Doug O'Neill.
Okay.
I think it's one of those Katie horses. Doug O'Neill made a big play for that really nice maiden winner. I read about that. I think it's Featherstone and Katie or Leatherstone and Katie. The horse that Luis Mendez won with.
Oh, the one that beat Baffert's horse?
Yes.
Did they buy it?
Yes.
I mean, the last horse that was something similar, that was Ceiling Crusher, right? And she ended up being a grade one winner.
I think the horse that like this was Dr. Shivel. Remember, Dr. Shivel was really impressive.
Well, yeah, and then went to Blatt.
Yeah.
I was talking about Bob. I was talking about Doug.
Sorry. Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah. Are you so hot?
But yeah, maybe I thought she was I'm a little hot. I thought she was I thought she was a private purchase.
What about a little quick, brief OBS sale report? I thought it was pretty strong.
It was super strong. Super strong. You got a great horse that I love.
I love the two horses that we got. Listen, I don't normally talk. I don't sell Little Red Feather on this very often, do I? I mean, be honest. Like all the stuff that we talk about is organic. I do not use this as a platform to sell Little Red Feather horses. I just don't. I never have. It was never the point of this pedigree. I mean, the pedigree of this program. The two horses that we got, I love. The Bernardini, he's a Ridgeling. He's already at Los Al. He's with Phil D'Amato. He's an absolute stud. You loved him, which made me feel so good. And then the filly we got right at the end of the sale, she's by Clearly Now. And I think we gave her one of the most creative names ever. Did you see her name?
Mm-mm.
What do you think of when you say Clearly Now? Think about Clearly Now.
Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose.
That's interesting. I was going to go that direction. That's so funny that you said that. But give me one. It's a song.
I can see clearly. So you named her Erasure?
The Rain Is Gone.
You're going with
the song.
Yeah, it's okay. You shouldn't even know Erasure. That's who sings the song.
I know, but right? No, it's an old song.
Really now, the rain is gone. Yeah. Okay, Robert's here. He's tired of me singing. It's okay. Your other name 10 times better, though.
Arrakis?
Yeah, but you could have named that Clearly Now. Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose, or whatever it is.
It was already taken. They already have one. Okay. All right, let's bring in Robert.
Let's bring in Robert.
Hi.
Robert.
Yay.
How are you guys? Happening?
How are you?
I'm good.
Thanks so much for joining us. Where are we finding you, Robert? Where are
Sarasota,
we?
Florida.
Oh, it looks like there's beautiful weather there.
Yeah, it is.
It's nice here in Southern California.
I'm apologetic about it too.
Well, welcome to the show. Obviously, this is called The Owner's Box. And what we do, Robert, is we bring on owners. We find out all about them. So tell us a little bit before we get in. We're going to talk about Hades, and I'm sure there's a lot of excitement, Florida Derby. But tell us a little bit about yourself and your owner horse ownership journey.
Well, my horse ownership journey started in 1986. Mm-hmm. I claimed a horse that she had started like 36 times when I claimed her, and we retired her at 102 starts.
Whoa!
Are you serious?
Yeah, she retired completely sound. Her name was Cayman Queen.
Cayman Queen.
And 1981 full.
That's amazing. Wow.
She won over 10 races for us.
That's amazing. So that's where you started, and that's 1986. Take us a little bit through, you know, obviously, well, that was a long time ago. I was about to graduate high school. I graduated in 87. So, but you've been in this game for a long time. Tell us about, have you ever had a horse like Hades?
No, never.
And it's interesting you say that, because you've been in this game a really long time, and a lot of people just jump into this game. They think they're going to have success right away, but it's taken a long time to get that big horse. You finally got him now. How do you feel? What are you doing? What are you feeling?
It's an amazing feeling.
Tell us about
Was it like a goal? Were you thinking the whole time, like, I'm going to keep doing this until I get a Derby horse?
No.
Or have you been just happy all along to just ride the wave of horse racing?
Well, I was away from racing for like 10 years because we concentrated on our business. And then when we retired, and sold the business, I got back into it.
What was the business?
We made eyeglasses, lenses for eyeglasses.
Well, look at like these? We all wear eyeglasses on the show.
So when
you got back in, was it like I've missed it so much, or was it just like I need a hobby and racing was fun?
Both.
Okay, so I contacted Joe,
which, you know, he used to be my trainer in the 80s. So I contacted Joe, and it was like COVID time. And I went to Gulfstream and saw him, and it's Joe Orsino, if people don't know who I'm talking about, Joe.
Sure.
We got licensed, and then we claimed a horse. And the horse I claimed, his name is Eamon, and he's going to run in Shakertown next month.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wait. So when was this? When did you get back in?
2021.
Okay. Wow. So very recently.
2 years ago, yeah.
Very
okay.
recently.
So here's a question for you. Because you were in the game back then and there it is now, give us some of the things that you've seen change over the years. So how is it different? How is the game different now than it was when you first got started?
I think it's more... I don't want to say the word organized, but it's more like a business than when it was before. Maybe because I'm older too, and I look at stuff differently.
Is that a positive or a negative?
Yeah, positive.
More like a business, because before it was just kind of like bring cash in your pocket and like claim the horse, right?
Right.
So when you came back in, you started claiming horses. How, like, did you have a limit where, like, I was going to claim one and just keep one going? Or were you thinking I'm going to build myself an empire?
No. claim as you go.
Claim as you go. What?
Claim as you go and say, why did I claim this horse? You know?
Well, obviously, this Eamon is a good one. I want to know more about him, but I really want to know about the acquisition of Hades. Where did that come from? How did that all come to play?
So, Joe, my trainer, was at the sale, and... DJ Stable is one of his customers, and when they see a horse, they set like limits. This horse is worth this much. This horse is worth that much. And so they were bidding on Hades, and it went over what they thought they wanted to spend on Hades. And so Joe really liked the horse. So he told them, I can get your partner. And they said, okay. And then Joe didn't call me after he sends me a picture of the horse. And he says, I bought you this part of this horse. I said, okay, great. Thanks.
That's some trust right there.
Yeah.
$130,000 was the auction price. Am I right on that?
Yes.
Yeah. Obviously Joe liked him and he starts training. Was it always like, hey, this might be a really, really good horse?
Yes, sort of, but not going to the Derby horse. You know, we were thinking maybe we can win the Florida Stallion Series or whatever.
Right.
Race or two.
Yeah. Now, DJ Stables is a fairly big operation, obviously. And, you know, you're undefeated. You win the basically one of the preps for the Holy Bull for the Florida Derby. Have you gotten other calls on this Derby trail from people who want to buy in?
I haven't. Maybe they have.
They would have to tell you.
Yeah, I don't think we have, to be honest with you.
Oh, really? Wow.
Maybe. I don't know.
Can Michelle buy in?
I want to know where his name came from, too.
They picked the name.
Like, they did?
I had nothing to do with the name.
Robert's like, they told me to buy the horse. I said, okay. They told me we're going to run here. I said, okay. They told me to dress up for the Derby. I'm going to say, okay.
He's just a yes man.
But you know, the funny part is I had never met them.
Okay.
I had never met them. I met them like maybe 2 weeks before the Holy Bull. They came to Sarasota and we went out to lunch together. I had never met them, and they are, I don't know if you guys know them, but they are fantastic people.
Oh, that's so great.
They are so nice.
Yeah, and isn't that the best?
I mean, if you're going to have a partner, you want to have a good partner, right?
Right, right. Very nice people.
Robert, I don't know if you remember Hot Rod Charlie from a few years ago. He was on the Derby Trail with our good friend Bill Strauss, and Bill would come on the show. He came on the show a bunch of times because he was just so funny, because he just said he couldn't sleep. This horse changed his whole life, and Bill had success. How are you dealing with this roller coaster of a ride up to the Florida Derby and then, knock on wood, hopefully, cross fingers, the Kentucky Derby?
I'm just there for the ride.
But you know, are you excited? Are
extremely,
you like, how do I get out of you?
Extremely excited.
What going into the Holy Bull, what were your thoughts about, like, logically, is my horse ready to go from two races and an allowance race and he's a Florida bred into this stake?
When we went to the Holy Bull, I looked at the racing form and I thought we were gonna win.
Oh, nice.
You know, okay. I looked, you know, forget the Byron numbers, they don't mean anything. I just looked at the form and where the race, the horse ran and how fast he ran and so forth. And I know he wants to go long, so luckily I was right.
So you think he wants to go long. I want to know what you did that day, because you're a very even keel kind of guy, I can tell. What did you do that day? When you watched the race, what was going through your head?
Total excitement. This was my first graded stakes win.
Oh, that's exciting. Amazing. Yeah. I want to step back just very quickly in time, though. When you're claiming horses, do you just let Joe call you and say, this is the horse we're going to claim? Or are you the guy that, like, is paging through?
It's
and
together.
It's together?
Yeah, and he's telling me, and after I pick him, he's telling me this is the horse you don't want to claim.
And you said that the buyer numbers don't matter. Are you also a handicapper? And if so, what kind of tools do you use to bet the races?
I use the time of the race, and then I use the track variant and the.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Interesting. So no sheets. You're not a sheet guy.
Not really. No.
Not really. And you primarily, I mean, you live in Florida. Are you originally from Florida? Is this your Floridian your whole life?
No, I lived in Syracuse, New York.
Oh wow! Okay. So when you were first involved, did you run on the New York tracks?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, do you like going to the races? Like, or do you prefer to sit at home and watch your horse?
No, I like going to the races.
If Hades makes it to the Kentucky Derby and Michelle and I are there, can we watch the race with you?
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
I mean,
I'm so happy.
Do you feel like a pinch me moment just even thinking, like, we're heading to the Florida, we're heading to a grade one right now.
Right.
And if he does well, we're going to be going to the Kentucky Derby. I mean, do you, like, wake up in the middle of the night and think about it?
Not yet. I guess I will, but.
we're putting all these thoughts into his head now.
Right.
I have a question. Going from claiming horses and now the excitement of this horse, does this make you want to participate more in the sales? Will you be putting more money towards sale horses, whether it's two-year-olds or yearlings?
Unfortunately, I participated in the sales, but I haven't gotten a Hades by myself. So,
yeah. So most of the time, you've been doing it by yourself, and you've never really had a partner before, or have you had partners?
No, you usually don't have partners.
But would you go but forward these, now
these
having
are the
partners?
Best partners I've ever, you know. If you want Lay, partners, let me, this is who you want.
Let me ask you a question. Ever. You've been in this game for a long time. You've met a lot of people. You've had a lot of horses. What's a piece of advice that you would give some of our listeners who maybe they're trying to get into the game, they want to buy a horse like Hades, or maybe they're starting in claiming? What would you tell them, your best piece of advice for these people?
You have to find a trainer that you trust.
That's we've gotten that answer a lot. We've asked that question before, and Joe Arcino is your guy. How long have you and Joe been together?
I met Joe in 1985.
Oh, now, wow. were you going to the track? Like, how did you meet him originally?
Oh, well, I was working at Caesars Atlantic City at that time, and the limo driver, and we had horses in New York. The limo driver told me there's a trainer that runs Philadelphia trainer that runs in Atlantic City. I'm going to bring him to meet you. And then he brought Joe to meet me, and we moved some horses.
That is so random. I love it. What about your family, Robert? Is your family involved in racing at all? Like, do they like it? Are they enjoying it? Or is it just you?
When we win, they are. When we don't, they don't.
And how many horses do you have right now?
About 10, 12.
Oh, wow. Very active.
Yeah. A lot of horses. That's fun.
Ones that we need to know about that's coming up? Are you running anything this weekend?
Am I running anything this weekend? Yes. I'm running tomorrow in Tampa.
Okay.
I have a horse running, and I have three running Saturday.
We want to know what one we should bet on.
Yeah, which one should we bet on? We're not really a gambling show, but Michelle and I like to, you know, pout some horses. Give us
I
one.
I don't know.
Oh, here.
Wait, you Robert, Joe doesn't call you and say this is the one today?
No.
Robert, you are a good man. We appreciate you spending the time with us today. Best of luck with Hades on the
Thank
Triple
you.
Crown Trail. We'll be certainly watching in the Florida Derby, and we'll be rooting for you.
Okay, great. Thank you. Very nice. Hopefully I meet you guys in person.
Yay! Absolutely. At the Derby.
Thanks, Robert.
Yes. All right. Thank you.
All right. That's Robert Bertrand joining us today on the Owner's Box. Michelle, as always, you bring great guests. What a nice guy, like just smiling and having the time of his life. You know, obviously, you know, I like that he keeps everything a little bit close to the vest or close to the chest, however you like to say that expression. But, you know, it's good to just see a face. So now people have someone to root for, you know. I think Hades is a cool story. DJ Stables is a big operation. We probably need to get them on our show. I mean, I think they just teamed up with West Point and bought a expensive horse. I think they bought
thought it was really cool. His first claiming horse, the one that had over 100 races under the belt. I love that.
That's crazy.
That's a throwback horse.
Very cool. What's coming up at Santa Anita this weekend, Michelle?
Oh, hold on. Let me switch my screen here, Billy, so I can find out.
Are you
going
to bring it up? Are you going to do the thing? I like
the
magic.
Yeah. I can. Okay, hold on. Inside. I'm going to learn how to do this. Hold on. Present.
No, you know how to do this. Play with confidence.
It takes me a minute to remember what to do is the problem. Where are we? Santa Anita. There we go. Okay, Santa share. Anita. Okay, can you see it?
Nope.
You can't?
Nope. No.
Let me see. I'll add to stage. That's the part I have to do is add to stage. Here we go.
Look at this.
Okay.
Smorgasbord fried chicken. That looks delicious.
Smorgasbord fried chicken. I don't know what date that is, but it's on the ad here. So if you're ever on our website, you just head over here to events and it'll list you everything that's coming up at the Great Race Place.
Very good. I love this. Derby Day 5K coming up.
This Friday first, we've got free admission and general parking. This Lava Man pin that's new. Santa Anita polo shirt. And then
giving those away?
Yeah, if you're a Thoroughbred Club member. Okay, so Saturday is that aforementioned Smorgasbord fried chicken trackside. And if you guys don't know Smorgasbord, they basically curate like different types of food and then they host events. So they do them like in downtown LA and other stuff like that. Highly recommend the chicken sandwiches. What did we do last week? Oh, the burgers were last week those were really good. That was kind of like an elevated In-N-Out burger was the ones we had last week. Also, good. Petros and Money are coming to Santa Anita.
I like them. They love going out to the show.
That's next week, right? So next week they're here trackside. If you want to see them in person, they're super funny. And I really like hanging out with them. They let me come and join their stuff. And then this,
why can't I come?
You can come this Sunday. All the same old stuff. Nothing uber exciting. But Saturday, smorgasbord, fried chicken. And I do want to mention also that the TOC is doing a
big seminar.
Yes, a big seminar. So if you come to the racetrack, it's in the morning. It's going to be up in the Baldwin Terrace, which is like just above Clocker's Corner. And it is 9 to 9:30. Make sure that's right. 9 to 9:30. And it is going to be free if you're a TOC member, although they do ask for you RSVP. And it is $25 if you're not, although a TOC member can bring a guest. We're going to have track superintendent Dennis Moore, and we're going to have trainer John Sadler out there. And they're going to be talking about the addition of the brand new Tapeta training track at Santa Anita. They're going to be talking about the pros of having three different track surfaces in which we can train on. And then they're going to be opened up for questions. So if you have any questions about that and you want to know more about it and you're local, highly recommend coming by. It is a tight window of 9 to 9:30 because Dennis obviously has to get the track in tip top shape for racing that day.
I have a question.
Yes, Billy.
Have you been on the new surface?
I have not been on the new surface.
Okay. Have you heard anything? I've been away, so I haven't been to the track.
I mean, hasn't Phil had a bunch of horses on there?
No breezers.
Haven't had breezers. Are they allowed to breeze? Let me yell into the background again real quick.
I don't think so. I don't think breezers are allowed. I think we have a galloper on there right now, but
No breezing yet. They had wanted to give it a few weeks before they allowed breezers, which I liked. So this is from when I worked for Steve Asmussen and we were up at Saratoga. We sent a bunch of horses to Presque Isle, which was an all weather. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them just came back so body sore and, exhausted. They have to get used to it. You can't just send them there and be like, here, go do this. So I think that them allowing not only the track to just settle in, also we had like some rainy weather and I think that the wax on the track needs to fully get incorporated. Yeah. So allowing that and allowing the horses to get out and jog and gallop over it before we ask them to work over it has been a super, super smart move on behalf of track management. So we don't have workers on it yet, but you can go out, jog and gallop. And, we've taken horses out there. So it's fine. I don't know how you judge a track really when you're just jogging on it, right? Yeah. I mean,
as long as the horses are coming back good and they're safe, that's all we care about.
Yep. Yeah. I know Ryan said the first one we took out did come back tired because it's it's a big difference than going in dirt. For people that don't know, imagine like you're running up the trail to the mountain and then that's all you ever do. And then I told you, hey, you're going to go run and you're going to run on the beach. Just, the difference in tired and muscles and everything. Yeah. You got to train for different surfaces.
Yeah, 100%. Well, Michelle, thank you for bringing on Robert Cotrent. Thank you, Robert. Wish you best of luck with Hades and Florida Derby. Have a great weekend at Santa Anita. You will be out there, right?
I will be there Saturday and Sunday. I'm not going to be there Friday.
Whoa. Are you okay? Are you going to Disneyland?
No, I would not take off work to go to Disneyland. Crazy. We do have something out of town, though.
Okay. All right. Well, enjoy. Michelle, thanks. You're the best.
Bye.
See you, everybody.